This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome to the Portuguese American Hour. I am Justice Neves. With me, as always, Dennis Borges. Dennis, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Justice?
I'm doing quite well.
Fantastic. Day before Thanksgiving. Everyone's getting ready for the big turkey day.
I'm ready, that's for sure.
Yeah. So here we are with another edition of the Portuguese American Hour. Welcome, everyone, as always. Actually, we have some news about the Portuguese American Hour. We'll save for our news segment at the end, right?
Yep.
We're changing a couple of things starting already next week. So stay tuned until the end of the program. We'll announce it at the last part. Some exciting updates for the Portuguese American Hour here on Multicultural 1600 AM. So we will start today. We have one guest and we will have our normal segments. We will have a special segment on Fado music today. With an explanation of that and some of the music itself. We will have our recipe of the week. We'll have our song of the week. We will have our book and poem of the week. And to start off, how about our moment in Portuguese history? So we'll start with that. And our moment in Portuguese history is about a person again. Last time we talked about a king, this time about a poet. Portugal is known as the land of poets. And one of the most famous poets of the 20th century was a gentleman by the name of Fernando Pessoa, who was born on June 13th of 1888 and who died on November 30th of 1935 at the very young age of 47. The older I get, the older I think that 47 is kind of really, really young. Anyway, Fernando Pessoa, from the age of 7, lived in South Africa, where his stepfather was a consul, a diplomat. He became a fluent reader and writer of English, with the hope of becoming a poet in that language. Pessoa wrote his early verse in English, but then in 1905, he returned to Lisbon, where he remained working as a commercial translator while contributing to various literary magazines, especially Orfeu, which was the organ of the modernist movement in Portugal. Meanwhile, he read widely, not only in poetry, but also in philosophy and aesthetics. He published his first poetry book in English, it was called Antinous, in 1918, and then published two others. Yet, it was not until 1934 that his first book in Portuguese, Mensagem, Message, appeared. It attracted very little attention, and Pessoa died the next year virtually as an unknown. Fame came to Pessoa after his death, when his extraordinary imaginative poems first attracted attention in both Portugal and Brazil in the 1940s. He created four different poets. He actually created over 70 different characters, but he created four different poets, which he called the heteronyms, or alternative person, rather than alternative egos. These people had their own identities, and they carried conversations with each other. So he created four different types of poems, poets. They all wrote in different styles, and all of these were found after his death. The majority of his hundreds and hundreds of poems were published after his death in 1947. He's been translated to English, and I would invite anyone who is interested in poetry to take a listen and take a read at Fernando Pessoa, who, by the way, will be part of our book and poem of the week in a little while. So our moment in Portuguese history, Fernando Pessoa, considered the greatest poet of the 20th century in the Portuguese language, not just from Portugal, but in the Portuguese language.
Very interesting. I'm actually looking forward to hearing that now, hearing the most of it was released after his death.
He wrote and put things in a big cedar chest kind of a thing, and they just kept on putting them there and there and there, and everything was found after he died.
Wow.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And considering that his education was mostly in English, not in Portuguese, but he became the one of the greatest poets ever of the Portuguese language, not having studied the language a whole lot.
Wow. There's a plot twist for you.
Yeah. Okay, and now we're going to go directly to our interview of this week. We have one interview today, day before Thanksgiving, and she is a Portuguese language teacher who lives and teaches in the city of Tulare, south here of Fresno, as our community knows. Tulare, as I have mentioned in the past, has the largest Portuguese language program of any high school district in the state of California, and she is on the phone with us, Belina Feijó. Welcome, Belina.
Thank you. How is everyone?
Everyone is doing great here. Justice and I and Esmeralda on the board, and hopefully the whole entire community is getting ready for Thanksgiving, as I'm sure you are as well. Thank you for taking time from this busy week to busy family week to be with us and sharing a little bit about what is going on with Portuguese, in this case at Tulare Union High School, where you now teach. But before we get to that, a little bit about yourself. Tell us, I know you're an immigrant, but the community does not. Most of those listening may just heard your name before several times, but don't know who Belina Feijó is. So would you give us a brief biography of where you were born, when you came to America, and how you got into the teaching profession?
Well, we immigrated in 1974. I was 5 years old. My parents and I and six other siblings came to the United States. I started kindergarten in Tranquility, actually. And then we moved to Hillmar, where I finished my education, my high school education, and then went off to college, started at Stanislaus, and met my husband, who happened to be from Tulare. Well, that kind of interrupted my education, so I got married, moved to Tulare, had children, volunteered at their school, and that's how I got back into education. I was in a liberal studies program, actually elementary education, and heard that there was a need for a Portuguese teacher. I found out a little more information, and because I was a native speaker, it was easier for me to complete the exams and speak in the language. And so I applied, and with a lot of help, Mr. Borges, I got the job. And it's been wonderful. This is my seventh year teaching, and I've been in Tulare. It will be 25 years in December.
Okay. And so, first of all, when you were helping when your kids were going through school, that kind of sparked the interest in going back to school and finishing your degree and then getting into teaching? Or was it something else that kind of got you involved in that passion that you originally had but put it on hold for a while?
Actually, it was being with those little people. I was involved in the intervention program and helping them learn how to read, and that little smile on their face when they were able to decode a word to read a paragraph. It was just so rewarding that I had been a part of that, that that's actually what made me continue and finish my education.
Okay, and then the opportunity, as you mentioned, popped up. Tulare Western needed a Portuguese language teacher. We had two teachers at the time, myself and Clemente Fagundes. The program was growing, and we needed a third teacher, and that's when you hired. Recap a little bit how that transition was from being involved at the elementary level for a few years, then to taking on a task at the high school level.
Well, I actually didn't become an elementary school teacher wasn't hired at an elementary school. I did a couple of long-term sub jobs, which were very rewarding. Really enjoyed the kids, and I aspired to be an elementary school teacher. I went on several interviews, but for some reason I wasn't hired, and then the Portuguese job was told to me, and I did apply, and I'm still that Portuguese teacher. I had many mentors. Mr. Borges, of course, you were that one that I still look back on and think, if it hadn't been for you, if I hadn't sat in that classroom and watched you interact with those students, the amazing job you did, I would have never been able to continue to do what I do.
Oh.
I had no clue what I was doing.
Yeah, that's...
It was you.
Thanks for saying that, but I'm sure you'd have got it. I appreciate that. And as you transition, I mean, you were, like you said, this is your seventh year now teaching Portuguese.
This is my seventh year.
At the high school. And what are some of the rewards in your thoughts of teaching a language that was your native language that you have spoken with your family? I know your kids speak it as well. I had the pleasure of having one, Philip, in my classroom, who was one of the most, when you have thousands of students, when you teach for 24 years and you can still remember the ones with I can still remember their names are the ones that, you know, were the good students. And I remember Philip distinctively for 2 years. I know that you spoke with him in Portuguese. I'm sure you still speak with your husband in Portuguese and other members of your family. How is it to transition from just a native speaker to someone who teaches a language to mostly kids who are not of Portuguese background or who are but no longer speak the language? How was that transition? How do you feel that has been challenging, rewarding, both? A little bit of your thoughts on that.
Well, actually, it's been challenging, but also very rewarding. Until I became that language teacher, that Portuguese language teacher, I didn't realize what I knew and what I didn't know. And so even teaching the kids and researching and learning as I do every day, I'm learning from my students. So they ask me questions, and sometimes I don't have the answers to those questions. And it's allowed me to learn more about my language and my culture. And it's so exciting to share all that with them. And I go off, I'm sure, as teachers do, when you start teaching something that you're so passionate about and you forget, okay, we were actually doing this small lesson, but this has been so exciting and the students are so interested that I'm feeding off of their questions, and the excitement that they're showing is what I enjoy the most. That is that rewarding part.
Sure. And I imagine that pretty much like when I was there up until about 2 years ago, we had seen that trend quite a bit, that the majority of your students are not of Portuguese background, correct? Or is there still the majority that are?
No. It's about a 60-40, I think, in my classes right now.
Okay.
They're Portuguese background, but back to their grandparents, they don't speak Portuguese.
Okay.
And we have a lot of Hispanics, which is exciting, and they pick up the language so easily. It's so wonderful to see.
And tell us a little bit about the different levels that Tulare Union High School offers to the students. I know that Tulare Union High School is the only school in the Tulare Joint Union High School District that offers four different levels. So tell us a little bit about, for those in the listening audience who don't know much about what is going on as far as the teaching of the Portuguese language and cultures at the high school level in Tulare, what the program entails there at Tulare Union.
Well, we have levels 1 through 4, and we also have the 4 and 5 honors. And 1 and 2 is a lot of conversation and vocabulary so that they can build on that. There we have the culture piece that comes in so they can understand how these people live and how they continue to live and how to interact with people. What are they about? And then Portuguese 3, they're developing more of using the language. So in 1 and 2, we're building the language. And 3, they're starting to use the language. We do a lot of conversation and films and things so that they can pick up more, so that they can interact with the language. And then when we go on to 4, we have a little bit of the literature coming in. So we started with short stories and interviews and things of that nature. And we also have the folklore, which was started by Mr. Borges, and I've continued to incorporate that in the classes, and the students adore it. We are reading about the songs and what they mean and trying to also sing those songs during the dancing. So that's the new piece that we're doing, so that they understand, what do these songs mean to them? What did they mean to those people who came in from the field, and that was their form of entertainment during the evening? It's really exciting. The students love it. And I, like you, am starting to do 1, 2, and 3, so that when they move through, they already have a little bit of knowledge of that music, that dancing, and what that piece means to the culture.
And also, along with the classes, Tulare Joint Union High School District and all three schools, and of course Tulare Union, where you now teach, has a very active Portuguese club, which is called SOPERS, as has been explained here before, Society of Portuguese American Students. Tell us a little bit about that as well, and how it can be a tool also for students to be involved outside of the classroom.
So the SOPERS Club we have in the three schools, and it's a different club because we try to do it together. So the three schools come together when we are doing something with that club. We have a traditional youth day that we get together. All three schools get together, and we have a keynote speaker. We have music. We have arts and crafts. We teach them about the artisan work of the Portuguese. We teach them the dancing. We have food that they can try. And all of this is part of the community. The community helps. We have musicians that come in, donate their time, and become part of that day. That is a whole day for the classes. Then we have other functions with the SOPERS group, where the community, our dancers, go out and perform in various venues and events during different times of the year. And we also have the students help out for organizations. So they become involved in the community, and they use their leadership skills and participate in Portuguese events. And this is also really important, because then they apply for scholarships and they're seen as leaders in our community.
Correct. Okay, as we take time to end the conversation, and again, thank you so much, Belinda, for taking this this day and this week that is Thanksgiving week, for taking time to be with us here on the Portuguese American Hour, Multicultural 1600 AM. I want to wish you continued success, all the best at Tulare Union High School, which is a high school very, very, very near to my heart, forever and ever. And the entire district is, as you know, but Tulare Union holds a very special place in my heart. And thank you for all you do. Thank you for continuing to teach Portuguese, and all the success that the language classes have and will continue to have for many, many years. And lastly, if any words that you would like to add, the microphone is yours.
Oh, I just want to say thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you and all our listeners. And just continue to participate in all the Portuguese events that we have available.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Have a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you. You as well.
And so that was Belinda Feijão, Portuguese language teacher at Tulare Union High School. As she mentioned, she started teaching at Tulare Western High School, where she taught for 5 years. I retired 2 years ago from Tulare Union. She applied for a transfer. She is now the Portuguese language teacher at the high school I taught for almost 2.5 decades. And she is doing a great job, like all the other two teachers, Clemente Fagundes, who we've talked to last week. And about 3.5-4 weeks ago, we talked to Bruna Ferreira. From the other high school, from Tulare Western High School. So we've done all three of the Portuguese language teachers from Tulare. We're hoping to have the others from the northern end of the valley in the next few weeks here as guests.
Of course. And it sounds like you left Tulare in very good hands.
I think so. I think all three teachers are doing great work.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our book and poem of the week, correct?
Yes, sir.
So stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Meu coração que pranteias, não tenhas dó de ninguém. Meu coração que pranteias, não tenhas dó de ninguém. Não queiras penas alheias, que as tuas chegam-te bem. Não queiras penas alheias, que as tuas chegam-te bem. Se fosses de gelo feito, de mármore ou de granito, se fosses de gelo feito, de mármore ou de granito, não galopavas aflito pelas ruas do meu peito. Não galopavas aflito pelas ruas do meu peito. Nos artifícios das teias da triste melancolia, nos artifícios das teias da triste melancolia, fizeste da alegria meu coração que pranteias, que fizeste da alegria meu coração que pranteias. Quem pensa muito não tem horas tranquilas, serenas. Quem pensa muito não tem horas tranquilas, serenas.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour again. I am Justice Neves here with Dennis Borges, and we're now going to get into our book and poem of the week.
That's right. And our book and poem of the week is again by Fernando Pessoa, the gentleman I spoke at the top of the hour, who was our moment in Portuguese history. And the book that I would highly recommend for those who have heard or have never heard of Fernando Pessoa but would like to get to know him a little bit is a book called Fernando Pessoa and Company. They're selected poems. They were edited and translated from Portuguese by a gentleman by the name of Richard Zenith. Zenith is a wonderful translator from the Portuguese language to English, and he is probably one of the best as far as translating Fernando Pessoa. Poetry is not easy to translate. I've published a book of translations from Azorean poets from Portuguese to English, and it's the hardest thing in the world to do because you lose a lot of the musicality of the language. You use words that sometimes don't mean. I don't think poetry can really be translated. They can be reinterpreted. So I think it's kind of a creative act, as Richard Zenith has done, in creating what Fernando Pessoa wrote in Portuguese in the English language. But it's really close, and it gives you a kind of an idea of what Fernando Pessoa is all about. So I'd highly recommend it. It's called Fernando Pessoa and Company, because he wrote in these four different heteronyms. And it is, again, translated, edited, and published by Richard Zenith. Buy it wherever you buy your books. And so, talking about Fernando Pessoa, here is the poem that I've chose for today from Fernando Pessoa as well. And it is called I Don't Know If the Stars Rule the World. I don't know if the stars rule the world, or if tarot or playing cards can reveal anything. I don't know if the rolling of dice can lead to any conclusion, but I also don't know if anything's attained by the way most people live. Yes, I don't know if I should believe in this daily rising sun, whose authenticity no one can guarantee me, or if it would be better, because better or more convenient, to believe in some other sun, one that shines even at nighttime. Some profound incandescence of things surpassing my understanding. For now, let's take it slow. For now, I have an absolutely secure grip on the stir rail. I secure it with my hand. This rail that doesn't belong to me, and that I lean on as I ascend. Yes, I ascend. I ascend to this. I don't know if the stars rule the world.
Wow. Deep.
Very, very, very deep. You could do a master's thesis, I think.
Absolutely.
On that poem alone. And so we'll visit Fernando Pessoa quite often because he's a very philosophical poet, and I think it's good to visit him often here on the Portuguese American Hour.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It sounds like the story of my life. I don't know.
Yes, that's right. I have no idea if the stars rule the world, but we can all try to figure it out with the poetry of Fernando Pessoa. He is, as you said, I think very wisely, very, very deep, and it's just, you know, it brings on a lot of different thoughts and a lot of different ways to interpret what some good poetry is all about anyway. Okay, and that was our book of the week. So Fernando Pessoa and Company, highly recommend it, and that poem and many others are included in it. And if not, just go online and Google Fernando Pessoa. Dr. Google knows everything. And so Google Fernando Pessoa and take a look at some of his poems. I think you'll enjoy it immensely. So I think from now we're going to go to something called
Fado Music.
Good for you. Yeah. I love that pronunciation. Fado Music. We're going to learn a little bit about it.
Ao cair da noite, salta o muro, deita abaixo a porta da fachada, vai pelo corredor comprido e escuro, corre os cantos da casa abandonada, vai pelo corredor.
Fado Music. The singer of Fado, literally the word means fate, speaks to the often harshest realities of everyday life, sometimes with a sense of resignation, as you can tell by his voice, sometimes with the hope of resolution. The music is performed by either a female or a male vocalist, typically to the accompaniment of one or two guitarras, which are a 10 or 12 string guitar, and two violas, which is a classical 6 string guitar, and perhaps also a viola baixo or a bass guitar. Most of the repertoire follows a kind of a double measure with four beats to a measure, that is, with a text arranged in the several different quatrains in or in other kinds of common Portuguese poetic forms. Until the mid-20th century, many of the fado performances featured a significant element of improvisation. In other words, there weren't lyrics written out. People improvised them as they sang, inevitably enriched with an array of very emotionally and lots of body gestures and facial expressions. Fado aims, and indeed is required, to evoke a sense of a very Portuguese word called saudade. Saudade is a Portuguese word that is untranslatable, according to all the specialists. It means yearning for something, nostalgia, missing a person, a time, a place. It's a little bit more dense than just missing. So it's a mixture of all those things together. And fado is typically associated, there are two types of fado, but the one we're listening to is typically associated with the city of Lisbon, which is one of the oldest cities in Europe. And it emerged basically in the first part of the 19th century. Following the 1822 return to Portugal of the Portuguese government, in which had been removed to Brazil during the wars of Napoleon. It arose in the city in a particular district of Alfama, a socially and economically marginalized area that was a nexus of Iberian, South American, particularly Brazilian, and African traditions. So it embodies those together, Portuguese, African, and Brazilian traditions. There's different thought processes, you know, how it became such a popular music, but it was a music sang throughout the different neighborhoods of Lisbon. As I said in the beginning, people with just those guitars, the string instruments, and a voice, and lots of improvisation. Let's listen a little bit more before the second part of the explanation.
E eles cantando vão me preparando para um tempo novo que aí vem. Nem quando foi dos terremotos do Marquês, nem com as maldades que o fado sempre lhe fez. Do bairro alto, cá no alto, eu vi Lisboa a chorar. Deu sempre a volta, pôs-me à solta, ensinou-me a cantar. O tempo corre, mas a vida continua. Lisboa morre por sair comigo à rua. Fez uma marcha ao meu jeito, vestiu-me a preceito e cá vou eu a...
So the popularization of fado, this one that we're listening to is a little bit more upbeat, so you can see that we mix a little bit more folklore sometimes with it. The popularization of fado music actually is credited to a lady by the name of Maria Severa around the 1830s. She was a tavern singer in the Alfama district and the first famous fadista, that's what we call a fado singer, a fadista. To the accompaniment of guitars, Severa sang real life woes in a very harmonical, predictable way, improvised, as I said, and very mournful, very, very characteristic of the Lisbon style of fado. The dark shawl that she wore during her performances became a standard accessory for generations of fadistas. So traditionally, that has changed a little bit now, but traditionally a fadista wears dark clothes, so very in mourning, a shawl over her, and male singers like this one we're listening to, Camané, which is considered right now one of Portugal's best male singers of fado. Traditionally, they will wear basically a dark suit, white shirt, or light shirt with a tie or without a tie, but a dark suit. There is no movement. They basically sing in front of a microphone, And what portrays there is their voice and, of course, the string instruments in the background. There is another type of fado, which is Coimbra fado, and we'll talk about that at a later program. Fado is known as kind of the national song of Portugal. Not the national song as the national anthem, but the song that represents the Portuguese soul, the Portuguese idiosyncrasy, the Portuguese way of being. One of our most famous fadistas was a lady by the name of Amália Rodrigues, who became kind of the best ambassador for Portugal, especially in the 20th century, who sang everywhere from Carnegie Hall to different countries, from Japan in the East to France to Germany and other parts of the world, South America definitely. And when she died in 1999, it was Portugal's government at the time declared 3 days of mourning in honor of Amália Rodrigues. Her voice is quite unique, and in the next few weeks we'll be sharing, because she will be one of our moment in Portuguese history. Mm-hmm. So we will share her voice, which is very unique, and one of the reasons why she became known as the Rainha do Fado, or the Queen of Fado, and basically kind of responsible for taking Fado into another level. Because besides the popular lyrics that Fado is known for, what Amália did is she started to sing the verses of the famous Portuguese poets of Camões and other Portuguese famous poets of the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th century, and even 20th century poets. So she started to sing these poems that had never been musically sang before. Mm-hmm. So she gave it a little bit different tone to it. Today, many fadistas, including Carlos do Carmo, Cristina Branco, Camané, that we're listening to, and Marisa, have kind of continued the tradition. Fado, for a while in the 1970s, after the 1974 revolution in Portugal, had became kind of a thing of the past, and for about 25 years or so it wasn't very popular, but certainly in the last I would say 15 years or so, Fado has a comeback, and now I would encourage everyone who visits Portugal, especially the city of Lisbon, to find a Fado house and just walk on to the Alfama district or Moraria district or any other district that has, and just you walk in, you basically, sometimes you pay a cover charge, sometimes you don't, you have to buy some kind of a drink, usually an alcoholic beverage, a glass of wine, and or have dinner there and listen to some Fado music. It's really worth listening, especially when you're in Lisbon. They say that a good Fado entertainer will make, especially if you understand obviously the language, is not a good singer unless he or she makes you cry. So it's usually about some of the sad things in life, a little bit of hope sometimes, but it's this, what Amália Rodrigues used to say, this very Portuguese way of liking to be sad. And sometimes we do have that. We have a sadness in us that is kind of unique to the Portuguese. So that is Fado music, the soul music of Portugal. And it's has been said it's probably one of the oldest urban folk music in the world. A lot of the folk music is country music, you know, music mm-hmm. of the village and everything else. This is a urban folk song that really signifies who the Portuguese are independently, if they live in mainland Portugal, in the Azores or Madeira Islands.
Yeah. Wow. That's very interesting. It almost sounds like, I don't want to say lyrical jazz, but like you said, lyrics were improvised and whatnot, and you kind of have to sit in the song and feel.
It kind of is like American blues, or lyrical jazz is a good way to put it. You know, the American blues, it's that kind of a music, mm-hmm. music of a people. Yeah.
Very nice. Okay. I really dig that. That's great. Yeah.
We'll listen to a little bit more of Camané, and then we will go to our next segment. Camané, as I said, is known as probably one of the best fadistas in Portugal. So listen to him for just a little bit longer.
Meu amor de madrugada, quando te perdes, me perco. Meu amor de madrugada, quando te perdes, me perco. Quando a vez vida está calada.
Again, very, very beautiful. That almost got me to cry. Maybe another couple more seconds and probably would have got me.
It's all about the voice, isn't it?
Yeah, no, and you really do feel it. But right now, we're going to take another quick break. I'm going to get these tears out of my eyes. And when we come back, we'll have our recipe of the week and song of the week, correct?
Song of the week, and then, of course, our Portuguese American community news.
Mm-hmm. All right, right, so stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Vendedeira que apregoas entre muitas coisas boas uma vida de cansaço. Rua abaixo, rua acima, ligeireza de menina com vaidade no teu passo. Rua abaixo, rua acima, ligeireza de menina com vaidade no teu passo. Hoje fruta, amanhã flores, ao sabor dos teus amores, tua voz tu vais moldar. Ora triste, ora contente, se a falar ficas diferente, não te negas a mostrar. Ora triste, ora contente, se a falar ficas diferente, não te negas a mostrar. No inverno és calor, com certeza sem favor, nunca paras com o frio. O teu lenço cai no chão, como quem dança no baile, num perfeito desvario. O teu lenço cai no chão, como quem dança no baile, num perfeito desvario. Na cintura bem marcado, em teu colo pendurado, o avental é um carinho. A brilhar por tanta rua, a saudade é toda tua quando mudas de caminho. A brilhar por tanta rua, a saudade é toda tua quando mudas de caminho.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour. I am Justice Neves here with Dennis Borges.
And here we are going to our next segment, which is the one that makes us hungry.
Yeah, and it works out perfectly because we're the day before the biggest
that's
eating
right.
day of the
that's
year.
That's right. I don't know if you want to cook this one for tomorrow, but here it goes. It's got to be people who like vegetables. So if you don't like vegetables.
That's a nice side dish. We can make that work.
Peas.
I'm okay with peas.
Okay, well, these are good peas. Ervilhas guisadas or Azorean stewed peas with poached eggs. So here's what you need. You need about a half a pound or so of linguiça, a little bit more if you like a little bit more of the sausage. For those of you who don't know what linguiça is, it's a Portuguese sausage, like chorizo, a little bit different because it's done with a different... the meat is not as... it's not the chorizo style. It's sometimes there's chunks of meat in it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, half a pound or so of linguiça. You can buy it anywhere in the valley. A quarter cup of olive oil, one medium onion chopped, two garlic cloves minced, a quarter cup, a little bit more if you like it, you know, a little more juice of white wine, three teaspoons of tomato paste, about a pound of frozen sweet peas, frozen is fine, and two bay leaves, and optional is one carrot cut thin slices. So you can do the carrot, that's an option. Some people do it. It's not very traditional in the Azores, but nowadays actually it is, because there are more vegetables available. At that time, carrots weren't the most available of all of the different vegetables in the Azores. A dash of hot sauce or Portuguese crushed pepper, and salt, of course, and pepper to taste, and about 4 to 5 eggs, depending how many eggs you like. So in a medium saucepan, you heat olive oil, and you add the linguiça, the sausage. You cook until slightly browned. Add the onion, the garlic, the bay leaves, until the onion is nice and soft and translucent. Add the tomato paste and mix very, very well with the other ingredients. Now you add the wine, you bring to a quick boil, and then you kind of let it saute for a little bit. I would say I usually let it saute, adding a little bit more wine. Usually I let it saute for about 10 to 15 minutes. After it's nice and sauteed and it's absorbed all that flavors and all you've done all of this, this has been probably now by this time about 20, 25 minutes or so. Add the frozen peas and the carrots if you wish to add those. A little bit of water, about 2 cups. If you don't like a lot of water, if you like a little bit thicker sauce, then just put white wine, okay? And a little bit of vinegar. And then you bring that to a boil. Add your salt and pepper to taste it. The little bit of the hot sauce, if you didn't do it at the beginning, put it now. A little bit of the Portuguese crushed pepper or any kind of hot sauce, and then let it simmer on low to medium. I usually like about low medium, so not quite medium, until the peas are cooked and the carrots are soft and tender, and that will take quite a few minutes, usually probably another 20 minutes or so. With a wooden spoon, you create like 4 different areas, like little hollow areas, or 4 or 5 depending how many eggs you want to use. You break the egg into these areas, cover, and allow them to simmer until the eggs are cooked to your liking. So if you like them a little bit runny, you may want to do them that way. If you don't, then cook them a little bit more. At the very end, remove the cover, allow the sauce to thicken just a little bit more. It should not be too watery, and it shouldn't take too long. It should take maybe 5 to 7 minutes to allow it to thicken a little bit more. These peas can be served as a side dish, or I like them as a meal with some nice Portuguese bread. So if you like peas, you like linguiça, if you like onion, if you like sauces, then that's the kind, it's a nice meal for winter time, especially.
Yeah, especially I'm sure with all that heat. I'm not the biggest egg fan in the world, but
we could do without eggs.
I'd be more than willing to try it.
Okay. Yeah, there's a couple of people in my family who don't care for the eggs as well, so we do everything without the eggs, and then we'll put the eggs for those who like the eggs. So you can do it without the eggs. Yeah,
when you said linguiça, you had me.
Yeah, linguiça adds flavor to anything.
Oh,
correct?
yeah. Absolutely delicious.
So that's our recipe of the week, called ervilhas guisadas, or Azorean or Portuguese. I'm stewed peas with poached eggs, and as for those of you who don't care much for eggs like Jess's, you can do it without the eggs. It's just as good. But if you like poached eggs, that's one way to put it, okay, to add some other different flavors. That's our recipe of the week. And we're going to go to our song of the week, right? After
correct.
This. And actually, our song of the week is from a very good friend of mine who is here locally, who lives in Porterville, kind of lives in Porterville. She lives in Porterville. She lives in Toronto. She has 2 different homes, and she sings all over the United States. And I'm hoping that in about 2 weeks, she will be our guest for a full program here of the Portuguese American Hour. Her name is Emily, and let's listen to her song called Portuguese Festas.
Oh,
That's Emily and her song Portuguese Festas, drinking Sagres, by the way. Sagres is a beer. It's the national beer of Portugal, so that's what she's talking about. Some good old Portuguese wine. She talked about the sopas, mm-hmm. you know, eating sopas. So it's a little bit of a description of what goes on with a very country twist to it, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
A very country western music twist to it. That is Emily, who we hope to have here as one of our guests for a full hour, the Portuguese American Hour, within the next few weeks, depending where she's at. I said she performs here throughout California, throughout the East Coast, and also in Canada. And so she kind of splits her time between living here in Porterville, the southern part of the valley, and also in Toronto. She's been recording for, I don't know for how long, but I would think for over 20, 25 years or so. She has, I think, about 10 or 11 different CDs out. Okay,
quite the career.
This one's called The Portuguese Festas. A little bit more of her music as we go into our Portuguese community news.
Yeah.
We do like to have a good time, yes, at the Portuguese Festa. She mentioned all those things, the sagres, the Portuguese wine, the sopas, the linguiça.
Yeah.
So lots of different things, the music, of course. And now some Portuguese community news coming up real quick on December the 1st, that is this Sunday. The Portuguese Cultural Center in Tulare at the St. Aloysius Catholic Church in the church hall will be having a lunch. It is for the entire community, but dedicated to the elderly in the Portuguese American community in the South Valley. The cost is $20 per person. The lunch will include a full meal with soup, caldo verde, literally translated to green soup, but it's not just green. It has lots of other things in there. We'll actually have a recipe for that in the next few weeks. So the menu is caldo verde, bacalhau, the Portuguese salted codfish, chicken, and all the things that go along with that. Dessert and entertainment, $20 per person in honor of the elderly in the Portuguese American community of the South Valley in the city of Tulare. That's this Sunday. Also, this coming Tuesday, December 3rd at 4:30 p.m. in the Ag One Foundation Conference Room at Fresno State, there will be the meeting of the Portuguese Club, the recently created almost a year ago, the Portuguese Club at Fresno State, now with new officers, and the first general meeting of the of this year will be December 3rd. That's at 4:30 p.m. So all of those who are students of Fresno State, all of those who have sons or daughters, nieces or nephews, grandchildren at Fresno State, friends, please let them know. Everyone is welcome. It's a Portuguese awareness club, so anyone can join us from any ethnicity. It is the Fresno State Portuguese Club meeting December 3rd. There will be lots of games and different entertainment at 4:30 p.m. in the Ag One Foundation conference room. Entrance is, of course, free. And Thursday, so in about a week, December 5th at 6 p.m. in the Peters Building, 191, the auditorium, there will be the presentation of the poet Sam Pereira. We've talked about that before. Sam will be, he's a Portuguese-American who lives in the city of Los Banos, west of Fresno here, and he will be reading and talking about his poetry. The title is called Creating a Third Country, the Combining of American and Portuguese Cultures into Nuanced Poetry. 6 p.m., December 5th. Entrance is free of charge. Sam Pereira, in this event, he will be reading from his work. He has roots in Portugal. He is a third-generation Portuguese-American, and he'll be reading from some of the work that he was that he created about 50 years ago, his early work, up until some of the poems that were just created in the last few weeks. So it's Parking Lot 6, for those of you who want to park and go to the event and close by. Peter's Business Building, 6 p.m. entrance is free of charge. That's December 5th, a week from this coming Thursday. And also December 15th, the Tulare Angrense Athletic Club, the Portuguese Soccer Hall in Tulare, is having a membership dinner available to all members at no charge. So if you're a member of the TAAC, Tulare Angrense Athletic Club in Tulare, do not forget this membership dinner on December 15th at 6 p.m. at the Portuguese TAAC Hall, which is located on Bardsley Avenue in the city of Tulare. And we're upon the last few minutes of our show. I think we need to talk a little bit about what's going to happen already starting next week, if we could put this together. It's we're going to change a little bit. We're going to have more Portuguese American Hour, right?
Mm-hmm. Coming mm-hmm. at you daily.
Yeah. We're going to try this for a while. So we would like to hear, obviously, from our listeners, because if it's not worth it, we'll go back to once a week. It's a lot less work for me, for Justice, and for Esmeralda. But starting Monday, this Monday after Thanksgiving, the Portuguese American Hour will be on every single Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m.
That's correct. Okay. We're coming at you 5 days a week.
So tune in starting Monday. So we will not see you on Wednesday. We hope to see you already on Monday. And we'll have this out, of course, in all the different social media outlets. And but please do pass the information to your family and friends. And those of you listening, now put it on your calendar and have your radio or your phone app. That's where most people now listen to the radio. I actually had to tell someone the other day. I had a student tell me, you know, I listened to you when I was driving to Madeira. You know, I said, oh, that's great. I had some relatives there, and I said, he said, yeah. And it was, you know, I had my phone on. I said, well, you were driving, and he said, yeah, I was driving. I said, why don't you just have it on regular radio? Who uses those anymore? They told me. but, you know, if you still do have a car, there's a little thing called a radio.
Yeah,
it's 1600 AM. That's where we're at for just regular radio. But if you do use it on your iPhone, that's how I listen to it. Mm-hmm. I have to be honest. That's how I listen to music nowadays, and also radio is in general. So we have the app. We're live streaming. We can listen to anywhere in the world. So if you're mm-hmm. Portuguese American that's living in Portugal, you can listen to us. It's at 4 o'clock here, so it's midnight in Portugal. Or 11 o'clock, so right before you go to bed, you can listen to what's going on in Portuguese American world in the Valley. So that's coming starting Monday. So please be tuned. Tell us what you think. We're going to have, as Justice and I were talking, we will have the Wednesday show and Thursday kind of follow the same format, but the other shows will do them a little bit different. So, but it's all about what's going on in the Portuguese American community in the Valley and throughout the world.
Of course, it's going to stay the same, just a little bit of a different format. But make us a part of your daily routine.
That's right.
Looking
please do.
That.
Yeah. 4 to 5. Okay, and I think we're coming upon the end of the Portuguese American Hour. Again, thanks to Belinda Feijó for joining us, and thanks to poet Fernando Pessoa, of course. And we will be here every day, as Justice says, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5, 1 hour every day on Multicultural 1600 AM, KGST, and on all the other social media platforms. We are available on Facebook, on Instagram, on everything that has a social media platform, and also live streaming at Multicultural. Just Google, as I said, Dr. Google knows everything. So Google Multicultural 1600 AM or Multicultural Radio, and it's www.multicultural.com. So www.multicultural.com. Or you can go, as I did, to your trusty iPhone and to your app, to the App Store or whatever kind of phone that you use. And it's called ESPN 1600 AM here, but it's if you just put KGST, Multicultural Radio, then you can hit. You have the app and you can listen to us. But the important thing is, though, for those of you listening, please do remember they'll be on starting Monday at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, make us part of your daily routine. On behalf of Esmeralda, Dinesh, and myself, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And we'll see you on Monday.
See you Monday. Thank you, Justice. Thank you, Esmeralda. And thank you, everyone. Thank you.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.